be running, having great big fun until he got the note saying,
August 5th, 1992, Jeff Porcaro, a man some believed to be the best drummer in the world, was spraying a pesticide in his garden when he suddenly collapsed, the victim of a heart attack. He passed away later that evening at just 38 years old. Porcaro came from a musical family. His father was Joe Porcaro, a highly regarded Los Angeles session drummer who recorded with the likes of Stan Getz, Sarah Vaughan, and Frank Sinatra. His younger brothers would become very successful musicians in their own right. Steve is a keyboardist and a composer. Mike is a bass player. And they would both join their older brother in a band he formed with his friend David Paich that they called Toto. In a family of accomplished musicians, Jeff stood out. His sense of rhythm, his metronomic ability to keep time, and his seemingly endless versatility made him the most in-demand session drummer of them all. He declined invitations to join bands probably on a regular basis. Mark Knopfler tried to get him to join Dire Straits. Bruce Springsteen wanted Porcaro to be his drummer after the E Street Band broke up. Had Steely Dan actually had an active roster of band members beyond Donald Fagen and Walter Becker, Jeff Porcaro probably would have been considered their drummer. Instead, Porcaro played with his fellow session players in Toto and created music that not only sold millions and millions of records, but also put his name into the history books. His work on one of Toto's biggest hits in particular, a song we'll talk about in a moment, is still referenced by drummers and other musicians 40 years after it became a monster hit on Top 40 radio. So, in a second installment of our occasional series on session players and side musicians, we are going to examine the legacy left behind by a man who is remembered as a drummer who could play anything. From sugary pop to complicated jazz arrangements, and from quiet ballads to straight-up rock anthems, anything Jeff Porcaro played on would eventually start to swing, and we are going to hear a lot of that this evening. Tonight, on the 29th anniversary of his tragic passing, we are going to groove to the music powered by the swinging backbeat of Jeff Porcaro. My name is Rich Larson. His name is Daniel G. Moyer. This is the Weekly List. Well, good evening, everybody. You're listening to AM 1080 and FM 95.1 KYMN Radio in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota. Thank you for joining us once again on another edition of The Weekly List. I know that you are like ridiculously excited about this show.
I am
show
so pumped. This is one of my boys. This is one of my guys.
Yeah, I just before I pretty much kind of let you just take this show over, I feel like you're coming into tonight with a little bit of a chip on your shoulder. And I just want to say, want to say that as it turns out, you and I are in remarkable agreement on pretty much everything on the show tonight, to the point where there is not a song on the set list where I'm pissed off that we had to cut one of your songs to keep from playing from another song that I would have wanted to play.
Okay. I'm going to have to wrap my head around that.
No, I mean, it's for real. Like, I'm not even pissed about the set list tonight.
Really?
Yeah, that's
at all.
That's my point. Not even. I'm not even remotely annoyed by the set list.
Wow.
I know.
Okay.
I know. So that, my brother, is how lockstep we are tonight.
Well, I'll tell you what. For the first time ever, before we typically pick six each.
Yes.
And so there's two songs in particular that we had to play. And Rich and I actually agreed on these two songs before we went even further. It's like, okay, these two have to be there. So let's decide
right out of the gates. Yeah.
And then it was, okay, you pick five, I'll pick five.
Right.
And the five I picked for very, very distinct reasons and purposes.
Okay.
You know, and I'm sure that you did too. But I mean, Jeff Porcaro, Jeffrey Thomas Porcaro, one of these guys that he's a musician's musician.
Yes.
He's a consummate, perfect timekeeper.
Yeah.
I mean, at no time does he ever lose his place in the beat, doesn't allow anybody that's playing with him to understand that the beat is going someplace else. He's in lockstep with the song. He's in lockstep with the other musicians. Even when he does these amazing fills and these bits and pieces where you're kind of going, how is the beat still there?
Like,
the beat remains. Perfect time.
There are times in some of those songs where he just kind of go, like, we're going to play a Boz Scaggs show.
Oh, yeah.
We already played one, but like later in the show, where he just kind of wanders off, but the beat is still
there.
Just there. It's there. Yeah.
I can honestly say, and I started out in piano, and piano is a percussion instrument, and I spent time playing in a drum section. I am not, I don't have perfect time. I don't. Porcaro did. And you always know precisely where the beat is in the song.
Yeah.
Even if he's not hitting on the beat, the groove is there. This guy has got such a definitive sense of style.
Right.
And we'll talk more about him. I don't want to the whole thing all at once.
Well, I think we should acknowledge, though, that they're really like there's a handful of drummers out there, or that have been out there that cannot be replicated.
Right.
I mean, Keith Moon, Neil Peart, maybe to a lesser extent, Ringo. Jeff Porcaro is one of those guys.
Yeah, he is.
There has not been anyone like him since.
And he's such an amalgamation of different styles, and you have to understand who he listened to. One of his heroes was Bernard Purdy.
Yeah.
And he did all kinds of stuff. I think Bernard Purdy was 1939 was when he was born. So, I mean, he played with B.B. King and all these guys. And he developed what was known as the Purdy Shuffle. And what the Purdy Shuffle is it's the use of playing triplets over a half-time signature to get kind of that shuffle groove. And Porcaro loved him. He also listened to a guy by the name of Jim Gordon and Jim Keltner. And you know who Jim Keltner is.
I know who Jim Gordon is, too.
Jim Gordon, yeah.
I know who both those guys are. Jim Gordon, just as an aside, was the drummer in Derek and the Dominoes.
Yes.
Who did way too much acid.
Yes.
And started hearing voices in his head. And one day he heard his mother's voice say, "Come to my house and kill me." So he did.
Yeah.
And now he's still alive, but he's
not.
Jim's gone away now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Jim Keltner was such a hero to Porcaro that Keltner's whole thing was wearing a vest.
Yeah.
That's why Jeff Porcaro wore a vest, was simply because out of respect. And they played on each other's stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And Keltner was one of the few people that not only was he Jeff Porcaro's hero, but he also considered Jeff Porcaro a peer.
Yeah.
So if you can imagine that, yes. I mean, and there were times where
you're my hero.
Don't give me the session. Give it to Porcaro because Porcaro will kick my butt on it.
You're my hero, and I hope that you consider me a peer. So I can relate.
So, but you know, the first song that we played was the Lido Shuffle.
Which I just love.
It's a great song.
Take Jeff Porcaro out of there. I still just love that song.
Yeah, but you got to have that groove. The groove from Porcaro fuels the whole thing.
Yes.
This was a song that was written by David Paich and Boz Scaggs.
Yep. David, let's back up for one more second, because you are assuming an awful lot that people know an awful lot about Toto. Toto was a band made up of Los Angeles session musicians, including Jeff Porcaro, Steve Lukather, David Paich, David Hungate.
Yes.
And
Steve Porcaro.
Bobby Kimball. That was the original five. Bobby Kimball was the singer. Steve Porcaro joined very soon afterwards.
Right.
And eventually David Hungate left, and Mike Porcaro became the bass player. David Paich and Jeff Porcaro formed this band.
They are the leaders.
Yeah, David Paich was a keyboard player, session musician, along with Porcaro. Those two guys said we should put a band together.
And the pedigree behind this band, here's where they formed. I mean, Jeff Porcaro's family came from Connecticut. His father was Joe Porcaro,
yep.
A fantastic percussionist and drummer in his own right. They move out to California, and Joe Porcaro gets a gig playing percussion on the Glenn Campbell Good Times Hour TV show. There he meets Marty Paich. Marty Paich is kind of the musical conductor on this. Of course, being musicians and having kids that are musicians, they bring their kids along. So Marty Paich's son is David Paich, and Joe Porcaro's son is Jeffrey Porcaro.
Yeah.
And they're both about the same age. They go to the same high school. They start hanging out from an early age, about 16, 17. And Jeff Porcaro is incredibly talented. And he gets picked up by a lot of people and makes a lot of connections, including Sonny and Cher, and spends a great deal of time playing with Sonny and Cher.
He dropped out of high school. To go play with Sonny and Cher.
Yeah. Can you imagine that? It's like
19. I kind of can, actually, especially in the 60s.
Like, yeah. I mean, he was 18.
Yeah.
He was 18.
Yep.
And so this is like 1972, I think, that he's doing that.
Right.
And he goes on the road with Sonny and Cher.
Yep.
And then one thing leads to another. He spends time with Steely Dan. He spends time with Seals and Croft.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into this. But he brings in David Paich as a writer because Boz Scaggs was in a tough way. He had had some failed albums, was really needing a hit. And Scaggs had this idea for the song Lido Shuffle when he heard the song Magneto and Titanium Man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from the Wings Venus album.
Yeah, yeah.
And Venus so Mars. Anyhow, the basic session involved Jeff Porcaro on drums, David Hungate, which is how that link was made, Paich on keyboards, and then a guitarist by the name of Freddie Tackett.
Who went on to join Little Feat.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's got that signature Porcaro intro to the whole thing, and it just shoots off from there. And what a great groove.
Yeah, great.
So, and of course, Silk Degrees, the album that it came from, was a monster hit.
The biggest album of Boz Scaggs' career.
Biggest. Saved his entire career.
Saved his career, yeah.
You know, so had that album, had it not been done the way that it was, you've never heard of Boz Scaggs. Which would be a shame. Low down and all.
Actually,
that
we would have heard of Boz Scaggs because eventually you and I would be doing a session musician show about Boz Scaggs.
Who's this guy? You know, and Scaggs played guitar on this as well.
Yeah, because you know, so Boz can play a little guitar.
He's been known for that.
He's not bad. Yeah. So. Anyway, so that was Lido Shuffle from Silk Degrees 1976. Next up, though, is on so many different levels. This song is a little tiny piece of history.
Yeah.
Yeah. Contrary to popular belief and urban legend, the song is not about Rosanna Arquette.
No, it's not.
Even though she was dating Steve Porcaro when this song became a hit.
And it's funny, the song is actually written about a number of different people, but both the band and Arquette went along with the joke publicly and said it was about her. Yeah. It's not at all. It's a good, funny story. Right. And it was a kind of nod how these cats would have this weird sense of humor and make up all this kinds of stuff and then have fun with it in the press. Because it was a way for them to kind of get a giggle.
Right.
This song reached number 2 on the Billboard's Hot 100 for 5 consecutive weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It spent its time behind Don't You Want Me by mm-hmm. Human League, and then also Eye of the Tiger, which is interesting because...
Which, that was the number one song of
82.
80, okay.
It was written by David Paich and won Grammy for Record of the Year. The beat on this is kind of referred to as the Rosanna Shuffle.
Yes.
And it's so distinctive. It's a halftime shuffle, and anyhow, it features a number of ghost notes, and it was actually
Wait, stop.
Mm-hmm.
What's a ghost note?
Ghost notes are beats that are not with a... They're marked on sheet music as just an X with a line down.
Okay.
There's no... It doesn't have a melodic sound to it.
Okay.
You know, so it's you know how some notes are notated like it's F or D?
But it's not a rest.
It's not a rest. It's a beat, but it's considered more of a solid beat. It doesn't define what drum you hit it on because drums are all tuned,
right?
So it doesn't really have that. It's just marked as a ghost note. And it's a combination of the Purdy Shuffle, which we talked about before, and then also Bonham's Shuffle on Fool in the Rain. Slight touch of a Bo Diddley beat in
there as well. Wait. Again, you're assuming an awful lot about our poor audience. John Bonham of Led Zeppelin playing on the Led Zeppelin song Fool in the Rain from the In Through the Outdoor.
Yes. If you take all of these beats together and you mix them together as Jeff Porcaro brilliantly does, that's how you get the Rosanna Shuffle. It's built up of pieces. And Porcaro was a genius at hearing these things and assembling them in his own mind to create something totally unique. So if you listen to Rosanna and you go back and you listen to Fool in the Rain and you listen to a bit of Bo Diddley and you put them all together, if you just hear those other songs and think about Rosanna, you start to get how all the pieces congealed in Jeffrey Porcaro's mind and more importantly in his hands and how he played it. And it's such a musical event. It's unreal when you start to assemble this. Then you get the composition by David Paich at the same time, and you've got two lead singers on this. You've got Steve Lukather, and you've got Bobby Kimball.
Right.
And not only have they got this groove going, when it gets between the transition between Lukather and Kimball, it goes from being in G major to F major.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, who does this?
Toto.
Yeah.
And you know why they did that?
Because they're Toto.
Because they could.
Exactly. Yeah. They can. Yeah. So, man, from the album 4, which actually also saved Toto's career.
It did, actually.
Because the first album was relatively a hit with You Don't Hold the Line. There's some great songs on Hydra and Turn Back, which are the second and third albums. But really, they were on their last legs.
This song saved the band.
Did. Was the first single. And I think... The album 4 went on to win something like 5 Grammys.
It won a bunch of Grammys.
So, monster hit.
Yeah, and
monster.
we're gonna talk more about Toto 4 later in the show, too. But for now, from 1982, this is Toto with Rosanna on 95.1 KYMN, The Ghost Note.
Ever care for me, Rosanna? 'Cause you know what luck is. Luck is believing you're lucky. That's all. And showing just a little bit of faith. There's a soul, in the city, watching over us, I swear.
From his 1991 album Vagabond Heart, featuring Jeff Porcaro on the drums, that was the Motown song. Here's the things I know about the Motown song, and we're not even going to spend a whole lot of time talking about the song because there's not much to say. It was originally written for a movie that nobody remembers except for me, and I'll bet you do too.
Kevin Bacon.
Quicksilver,
yeah.
a movie about bike messengers in New York.
Wow.
I never actually saw it, but I remember the movie.
Yeah.
It was playing at the movie theater where I was working, but I never saw the movie.
Yeah.
That's
also Steve Lukather on guitar on that.
Okay.
And it's also David Paich playing, and I think Steve Porcaro and Mike Porcaro as well. I mean, you've got basically Toto as the backing sessions on these.
Plus, you've got the Temptations singing.
Yes,
and
the Temptations. Oh, yeah, and the Temps as well.
Yeah. Oh, by the way.
Oh, by the way, off to the side.
And I mean, if you need any proof, you can hear Blue Franklin just singing in the bass in the background there. It's awesome. We were just talking off mic. That song, it's a great song. And a really good song for Rod Stewart. Like just
I'm not sure that it's especially a great musician session playing from.
Well, how would you know because of the way it's produced and engineered? There's whoever recorded that song. There should be all kinds of nuance in that song that's not in there.
No, but I mean it's Rod Stewart. This is mainly a vocal thing, and Jeff Porcaro and the Toto guys, they're basically in service to the song. And it's obvious. And Richard Perry was the producer on this. And it was, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. We need you to play. We need you to be rock solid. We don't need you to be flashy. And they're not.
No.
This is going to be Rod Stewart singing. It's going to be the Temptations background vocals. And, hey, these cats are smart enough to, they're going to play to the song. And it's like, okay, we're being paid to do a gig. And it's going to be for Rod and the Temps. So there it is. Boom. We cut it. We're out of the way.
I like the song. Very much I like the song, and I like the way Rod sings it, and I enjoy the playing on it. I just
it's not flashy.
I don't care that it's flashy. I just, as a producer, I would have approached it very differently.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's not as much of a groove, and it was relying on the vocalist to really.
And
I think
the song is memorable to a lot of people because of the music video,
which was an
animated thing.
Yeah.
So, anyway, moving on.
Next is a song that I picked, and there's a lot of reasons that I picked this. when necessary, Picaro could just flat out deliver a rocker. And the song that we're going to play is called Carmen. And it was the first track on the Isolation album, which was the lesser successful follow-up to Four. And it came out in 1984.
Can I just say that you're going to completely disagree with me on this?
Oh, yeah. I know I will.
Toto, the band, has a real habit of shooting itself in the foot.
Okay.
They would have, it became an occasional thing. There would be these hits, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they would show you what they were completely capable of. Mm-hmm. And then they'd say, you know what? For the next album, let's challenge our audience to the point where no one on radio is going to play us.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, there was a single off this album that did get some radio play. It was called Stranger in This Town.
Nobody Knows That Song.
Right. It got some radio play.
Yeah. It was not what I would call a hit.
Well, yeah. Toto had a real problem after Four because their lead singer, Bobby Kimball, got arrested for cocaine trafficking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a bit of a problem. Yeah. So he's going to be doing time potentially, and Toto are not clean.
I mean, think
they kind of went, you know what? We gotta get rid of you, and we gotta find a new vocalist.
Think about that for a second. You're the lead singer in a band that's selling millions and millions of records and touring the world, and you think, I need a side hustle.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna deal coke.
Well, you know, and the thing, the session musician scenes in Los Angeles. I mean, we're not talking about a bunch of saints here, and it probably was is another musician going and saying, hey, Bobby, man, have you got something? Sure, yeah, here you go. And like, here's $50 or whatever. And then, goes down.
You know, there are a lot of different theories and rumors that surround Jeff Picaro's death. And one of them is that his heart attack was brought on by
hardening of the arteries.
Cocaine use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the members of Toto, they're going to, he's a brother. I mean, it's literally kind of like you and I are.
Yeah.
Without the California snow involved. you and I will have a drink from time to time.
Mm,
you
know? Yes.
But, you know, so anyhow, Toto's in a real bind here. They need to get a new lead singer. David Hungate has now left.
Right.
He left after the sessions of Four.
Right.
And was replaced by Mike Picaro. Bobby Kimball fired. Toto goes, well, what do we do? So they record the soundtrack to the movie Dune.
Which, you want to talk about shooting yourself in the foot, man.
Well, nobody even knows about that. Toto fans don't know that. It's actually a pretty good record, if you're into that. But Dune, not a good movie.
A huge disappointment, that movie. Like, I remember the buzz. Like, so many people were so excited for that movie when it came out. And it just stunk. You know, they've remade Dune.
Yeah, I'm psyched for it.
Well, here's the thing. The opening of that movie has been moved back at least four times, not all because of COVID-19, by the way.
Oh, danger.
This one.
Danger, Will Robinson.
I'm predicting right now this one's going to suck.
Because
like
I love
one.
The book by Frank Herbert.
Sure.
I mean, I read a whole bunch of the, because, you know, sci-fi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyhow, so they're stuck. They need to find a vocalist. They first offered it to Richard Page. And Richard Page looked at this and went, you know what? I'm going to stick with my band called Mr. Mister.
Right.
Which is probably a wise move for him.
Another band made up of
session
musicians.
Guys.
Except
you know, Steve
Ferris somehow is. All of them from Nebraska.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird.
So anyhow, they offered it to Fergie Fredrickson, who is from Grand Rapids, Michigan. I think that they were trying to go with a Midwest guy.
Michigan,
Grand Rapids.
Okay.
He actually wound up living more in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And you and I saw him.
When we went to see Toto at Trocadero.
Yeah, and I was bummed that he did not sing on this song in live when we saw him. I was really hoping it, because I love this song. This is one of those, man, it's the desperation between David Page's voice, which is calmer, and Fergie is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And towards the end, where he's going, come in, you know, back and forth right after Lukather does these waves of guitar. Listen to that, man. It gets the last minute is so intense for me. I know that when I get excited about music, I tend to talk.
You're so intense
fast.
That you actually need to talk into your microphone a little more.
I am, because I'm concerned that I'm talking so rapidly. This is where all of the little child of me just kind of flips out.
Yeah.
And I get to talk and think about theory and just stuff that makes me intense and crazy.
And tingle.
And Tingle. Yeah. This is the stuff where my goosebumps happen listening to this. I've heard this song about a bazillion times. Every time I listen to it,
you know, I just now, after just 30 now. years, I have finally realized what might be the major complete difference between the way you approach music and the way I approach music. Bob Dylan, we always did feel the same. We just saw it from a different point of view.
We come
at this. You are a musician, right? Mm-hmm. You come at this from theory and tingles and things. And I am two things.
Mm-hmm.
I am a writer and I'm an historian,
mm-hmm.
right? So, like, you can't understand why I'm not listening to music that's coming out right now, right?
Right.
Because I'm too busy, like, reading about something that came out in 1957. I'm, like, reading a Miles Kind of Blue, right?
Yeah.
But I also, like, you are approaching this. You like the rhythm, and you like the way Steve Lukather is playing his guitar in relation to the way that Jeff Carr is playing his drums and all that stuff. Where I'm just going, well, what are the lyrics? You know?
Yeah. I'm a big on the lyrics guy, too, but I like the immediacy of this, you know, the just, I can't even put my.
You get a visceral reaction to this.
Yeah,
song.
I do. Yeah. I do.
And I hear the song and I think, wow, this was recorded in 1984.
Yeah. And I'm all about, check out that sound.
Yeah. And I'm all about, ooh, check out that sound.
Yeah. And for me, it's all about the drive of the beat. And I hear Fergie Frederiksen's voice. And just the intensity, the insistency of that voice. And where he starts screaming the words Carmen so much that he starts doubling it up towards the end at one point. Well, and it's just intense.
One of the things that we are both romantics. So that's why something like that just works so well.
Yeah.
Okay, so 40 minutes into the show, we're going to play our third song, fourth song.
It's going to be a long night, kids.
I promise you, I'm going to start Rain and Danny in after this. This is from the 1984 album
Isolation.
Thank you. This is Carmen on 95.1 KYMN. The
he knows he has to find her. Find a way to make her come back.
Welcome back to the Weekly List. My name is Rich Larson, your crab-ass host of the show, along with my dear, dear, dear friend, Daniel G. Moyer. Who is,
remember that for what I'm going to say.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. That was Human Touch by Bruce Springsteen off of his 1992 album, Human Touch. Human Touch came out. Bruce Springsteen broke up the E Street Band mm-hmm. in 1990 at the end of the
Tunnel of Love
tour, and put a whole new band together, and used it when he was recording this album and the album that came out at the same time, Lucky Town. He used a whole bunch of session musicians. That particular song featured current Journey bassist, former
American Idol
judge, and former Journey bassist Randy Jackson.
Yep.
And Jeff Porcaro on drums. He begged Porcaro to go on tour with him.
Yep.
And Porcaro said, "No, man, I got to go on tour with Toto. Sorry." And then Porcaro died like 5 months later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, the only other thing I have to say about that song is that Springsteen put out two albums.
Yep.
At the same time. Between the two albums, those two particular albums, there's like six good songs. Sorry, Brian Johnson, I know you disagree with me. There's like six good songs between those two albums. That's the best one.
Jeff Porcaro had a way of playing to the song.
Yeah.
And I don't like that song.
Interesting.
And I don't think... Porcaro, he basically serviced the song, and if he did too much to that song, the real crap of that song would have come out. Of those two records, Lucky Town, in my mind, was the only song I liked.
Of those two records, Lucky Town is the better album,
yeah.
But there's nothing on Lucky Town, in my mind, as good as Human Touch.
Okay. Jeff Porcaro was not on Lucky Town.
No, he was
at
not.
All.
In fact,
Springsteen
I think
did all of the
Porcaro
stuff except for the
only
drums.
Played on Human Touch.
Yeah, that was the only thing. Yeah. And, well, I love Bruce Springsteen. I do.
I know you do.
I really do. Oh, my God. Human Touch... And the Lucky Town albums.
Low points.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And he broke up the E Street Band for it.
Moving on.
Okay. The next thing that we're going to play is one of Jeff Porcaro's big pieces was Steely Dan.
Yeah.
And he was the guy on Katie Lied, which came out in 1975. The song that we're going to play is called Your Gold Teeth 2. And the basic session really is Porcaro on drums, Chuck Rainey on bass, and Michael O'Martin on keyboards.
Why are you looking at me like I should know who Michael O'Martin is?
Well, he's a pretty famous producer and keyboard player. He plays on everything.
See, here's what I need to explain to you.
But you're
right
a historian
now.
Guy. I thought you would have checked him out.
Okay. Yes. Okay. To the rest of our audience, you are so smart.
Mm-mm.
No,
mm-mm.
No. Just listen with your ears and not your mouth, mister.
Okay.
All right. You are so, you know so much, right? That you like, you're at level like 19, right? Where most people, and I think a lot of the people who listen to this show are somewhere between like level 8 and like level 14. But you, the way you, like, you're so far above, including me, I'm at like level 16 or 17. You talk at like a level 15 as like your baseline, right? Like, so there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes way over the heads of our listeners. So my job, I'm now taking on the role within the Weekly
Rain
List.
Rein it in, Danny.
No. Well, yes, but also to interpret for you.
That's probably a good thing. music is one of those things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just my thing. This song in particular is really weird, and I will grant you it is really weird.
I love this song. This song was a big step forward for
yo, this was. Now, Donald Fagen, the way that they wrote this, what he did is he gave Porcaro a bunch of Charles Mingus records.
Yeah, I love this.
Yeah.
I love this.
And, you know, Danny Richmond was the player on the drum. The thing about this song is it's written in three different time signatures.
Mm-hmm.
It's written in 6/8, 3/8 and 9/8, and I'll explain how time signatures.
Please,
work.
Let's just roll with this. We don't have enough time to explain how time signatures.
It's
work.
Very very simple. 4/4 is 4 beats per measure. The quarter note gets one count. A 6/8 is 8 beats per measure. Six note gets one count. Anyhow, this changes through time signatures quite a bit, and that makes the song. That's all I'm going to say. There you go.
And
do yourself Wikipedia time signatures. Learn about it.
Donald Fagen gave Jeff Porcaro those Charles Mingus albums and said, "I want you to play with this guy's feel." And mm-hmm. and Porcaro had never heard this guy play before. He went home for 2 days, listened to the Charles Mingus albums, which, by the way, is not an easy thing to do.
No, it's not.
Because Mingus is...
he's everywhere.
He was brilliant, but you got to understand jazz to understand Charles Mingus.
Do.
I don't get Charles Mingus. And I don't.
Check him out.
And 2 days later, Porcaro came back and he had it. He had it. Anyway, this is... From Katie Lied, 1975. This is Steely Dan with Your Gold Teeth 2 on 95.1 KYMN. The Wind.
precious stone. Part of earth, the heaven is rained on. Makes no difference where you are, day or night time, you're like a shining star.
Seals and Crofts from, I think, 1976?
73.
73, okay. With
this is early.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's right. This is early in Picaro's career, actually.
Yeah.
With Diamond Girl. Doing research on this particular song, you know what I learned?
What'd you learn?
That I didn't know? I suppose it was in the late 80s, Dan Seals became a pretty big country star for a little while, right?
Yeah.
Everyone thought he was the guy from Seals and Crofts. No. No, Dan Seals actually was England Dan of England Dan and John Ford Coley. But Jim Seals of Seals and Crofts is Dan Seals' brother.
Yeah. I learned that someplace as well, yeah.
I learned that this week.
Yeah.
There it is. Okay.
And there's nothing in 6/8 time there. I'm just kidding. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I wasn't worried about 6/8 time. I was worried that you were going to try to explain 9/8 time to everybody.
There's a whole lot of counting.
You know, why don't we just talk about Bill Brubeck and Take Five? I mean, you know.
Yeah. One, two, three.
No, stop.
I spent a childhood counting time.
I was kidding. Guess what time it is, Danny?
It's time for Haiku Rich's Little Haiku Corner. Okay, go on.
Again, perhaps not even a narrative, but just a statement in four haikus.
Usually, and also, talk about time, 575. Okay, I'm done.
575-575-575-575, yes. Usually I try to go for, you know, I try to be funny with my haikus. Yeah. I didn't hit that mark this week.
Well, go.
It's just a thing. It's just
Lead
a thing.
Me on, man.
You want a rock band? You want to be a big star? Get a great drummer.
Hey, that works.
Yes. it's a haiku and a statement of fact all at the same time. Rock and roll can't work without a swinging backbeat and a sweet time. I just messed that up. Try it again.
See, it's all about time.
Time. See, you got time on my mind. Rock and roll can't work without a swinging backbeat and a sweet tom fill. Rosanna Shuffle is drumming 101 now because it's perfect.
It is.
From Boz to Luke and Sonny and Cher and the rest. Thanks, Jeff. We miss you.
Oh, God. Now, that was, you hit me right there. I got the feels, man.
I got you in the feels, didn't I?
Yeah, it was right there. Right. Swinging cat right see, there. Yeah, now, there if you is. Just, you know.
Okay. This is now some serious stuff.
Yeah.
Because things are getting ridiculous again.
Yeah, they are.
Okay. Well, of course, we're talking about Imminent Brewing and COVID-19. First of all, we want to thank Imminent Brewing and Lauren Derek Myers for sponsoring the show. We love Imminent Brewing. Thanks, you guys. Thank you for making the weekly list possible. Danny, are you fully vaccinated?
You know I am.
I know you are. Good for you.
Yeah.
You don't believe that you've been microchipped?
No.
You don't think the government's trying to control you?
No.
You don't think that this thing was so rushed that it's going to, like, give you some kind of weird, like...
No, time signatures like, rule me, dude. Not microchips.
You don't think that they're going to put little tiny time signatures into your blood that's going to make you...
That
like,
was there yeah, before this.
Yeah, well, that's true, actually. Okay. Anyone out there who tells you that the vaccines are weird or wrong or don't work or you don't trust the vaccines, you're just full of nonsense. Knock it off.
I just, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Vaccines are only helpful. So if you're vaccinated, when you go to Imminent Brewing, you don't have to wear a mask.
But right now, it probably might not be a bad idea.
It might not be a bad idea. In fact, in Rice County, we are now under the recommendation of the Centers for Disease Control that you wear a mask indoors.
Yeah, look, if you're wearing around kids, people. This pandemic has to get past humanity. It has to. We need to kill it. That means get the vaccination, wear the mask, do all the stuff that the experts are saying, not what the internet told you.
You know what? I'm even going to just throw this script away, and we're just going to say, look, this is serious.
Yeah.
This is the real thing. People are going to start dying again. People are going to, we're going to all have to shut ourselves down again. Kids are going to have to stay home from school again because 38% of the population doesn't trust the vaccines.
Yeah.
Get, in the immortal words of Al Gore, get with the goddamn program.
Whoa. Well, and here's the thing. I just want to keep this back to real because Imminent Brewing just opened. They're starting to get the stuff, you know, you've got the patio going and all that kind of stuff, and they do so many wonderful brews. Don't take Imminent away from me.
No, please don't.
You know,
we got Sam Ryden. Well, actually, he's playing there tonight, so if you're listening to this, you can't go see Sam Ryden. But we have live music this week, and in 2 weeks, Matt Arthur is going to be there. And we've got music after that, too. And like, music is back, and the dogs are back. And
oh, man,
you don't
it's summer.
You know, this is when we're supposed to... Folks, just get the shots.
Yeah. Okay? Rich is getting worked up like I get worked up about music. So what are the hours for Imminent?
Well,
tell me.
As of tonight,
mm-hmm.
Thursdays have now been extended to 9 o'clock, so the 4 to 9.
Oh, great.
4 to 9 on Fridays. 2 to 9 on Saturdays, 2 to 7 on Sundays.
That's a weekend, man.
Right, okay. New beer on tap this week,
mm-hmm.
Tangerine Dragon Squirrel.
Really?
Yes, which is not a new beer because we've done it before, but
I
want to
say
it's back.
But
it's back.
Yeah.
Tangerine Dragon Squirrel. And coming in the next few weeks, right, the incredibly popular specialty beer, like the most popular specialty beer that Imminent has ever done, the annual Honey Basil Ale.
Nice.
Do you like basil?
Yeah, I do.
Do you like honey?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good
beer. I mean, it's kind of like that Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, you know, chocolate peanut butter.
Yeah,
why
exactly.
Wouldn't you want that together?
It's such a good beer.
Nice.
In 2 weeks, the raspberry rhubarb will be available. Oh, that's a good beer, too. And I just found out today that at the end of August, we are going to release our very famous Oktoberfest.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is a phenomenally good beer.
Now, I like fall. I want to hang on to summer some more. So
I'm with you.
You know, I mean,
I'm with you. I love summer. So, you know, there's also like the pineapple wheat beer is still available.
That's nice.
Yeah. So that's a nice, it's a very nice summer beer.
And you gave me something today, right?
Cannon River Pale Ale.
Okay.
Yeah.
I still haven't even opened the other one. So I was in St. Louis this weekend.
Right.
I just kind of went, you know what? We're going to hop back on the wagon for a while. We're going to let this stuff pile up. It was a great Friday, Saturday night. That's all I'm going to say.
So I think you should get vaccinated. Danny thinks you should get vaccinated. You know who else thinks you should get vaccinated?
People with half a brain?
No, those people don't think you should get vaccinated.
Oh, okay.
Jackson Brown thinks you should get vaccinated.
I wouldn't doubt that for sure.
Yeah. This was, okay, we agreed right out of the gates that Rosanna and this other Toto song needed to be on the list. We also...
This is where it got funny.
We also agreed... without even talking about it, that the Pretender needed to be on the list because I had a preliminary list put together.
And here's the thing. Rich never tells me his list beforehand.
No, because I wait for Danny to give me, and then I just fill in what needs to be filled in. The Pretender was on Danny's list, too.
of course.
Yeah, so we both agree that this song had to be here.
I love Jackson Brown. He just put out an outstanding new record.
I've heard
a little
it.
Bit. It's good.
It's really good, man. It's really good.
Jackson Brown is not one of these guys that I'm, like, big on. You know, you wouldn't know that I'm a giant Jackson Brown fan, but he kind of lurks in my background.
I'm a huge
Jackson
Brown
fan. I love
Brown
the
fan.
Guy, and I might as well come out and admit to it that everything that he's ever done, I love. You know, Lives in the Balance. I remember Somebody's Baby.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, in 82.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High, man.
Oh, yeah. God, everything about that.
Jennifer Jason Leigh sneaking out her bedroom window to the tune of
The guy's
Somebody's
just
Baby.
Such a great singer-songwriter. He's related to the Jacks or to the Eagles.
He had a run in the mid-70s that was three albums. It was Late for the Sky, The Pretender, and Running on Empty.
Mm-hmm.
And of there's one song off of each of those albums that's just monster good. The song Late for the Sky, the song The Pretender, and the song Running on Empty.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyhow, when the Pretender album was a pretty critical album also in Brown's career, he's kind of coming at one of these points. And when he came into the studio, and this is 1976, he only really had the lyrics, which were pretty well completed, and little bits of the song shape, and then Picaro gets it. And, you know, so anyhow, the producer on this was John Landau, who also worked with Springsteen.
Well, he's now Springsteen's manager,
Right.
And he's the guy that wrote the review that said, I've seen the future of rock and roll, and its name is Bruce Springsteen.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyhow, they start recording the track, and you know the section that's, you know, caught between the longing for love and the legal tender?
Yeah.
Anyhow, Picaro added this additional tom-tom part that sat in this perfect groove, and all of a sudden, Brown's lyrics that he had written no longer worked correctly. And so producer John Landau told Brown, was like, there are too few lyrics now. And Brown goes, well, what do we do?
Well,
we've got a hole here.
You add another word.
And no, Landau goes and says, well, you're a writer. You can write something. Write another line. And so Brown had to add the words, where the sirens sing and the church bells ring and the junk man pounds his fender. That's all because Jeff Picaro added this extra tom beat thing that went on for a little bit too long. And so it's where Picaro literally shaped this song and made it what it is. And for me, where the sirens sing and the church bells ring, I love the way that flows melodically over the top.
And now every time I hear that song, I'm gonna listen to those words and think they're totally superfluous, and they really don't even make sense.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah.
And Picaro had the ability to do that on a lot of stuff, and he does it on probably Toto's biggest hits, too, and we'll talk about that as we close out the show.
What I have to say about The Pretender is actually kind of an aside. This song would have fit in really well with the show we're going to do next week as well.
Really?
Because this song is really basically about selling out your ideals.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, nice. Yeah. Good setup and a sneak preview for next
exactly.
week.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it would have fit so well into next week's show that we might play it next week again anyway, because it just...
It's that good.
It is that good, and it just fits so perfectly. Anyway, 76?
76.
From 1976, this is Jackson Browne, produced by John Landau, featuring Jeff Porcaro on the drums with The Pretender. On 95.1 KYMN.
The Yahtzee.
I was going to say Ooksie.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna rid myself a house in the shade of the freeway. Gonna pack my lunch in the morning and go to work each day. And when the evening rolls around, I'll go on home and lay my body down. And when the morning light comes streaming in, I'll get up and do it again. Amen. Say it again. I wanna know what became of the changes we waited for love to bring. Were they only the fitful dreams of some greater awakening? I've been aware of the time going by. They say in the end it's the wink of an eye. Come streaming in, you'll get up and do it again. Amen. Caught between the longing for love and the struggle for the legal tender. Where the sirens sing and the church bells ring and the junk man pounds his fender. Sleep at the traffic light, and the children solemnly wait for the ice cream vendor. Out into the cool of the evening strolls the pretender. He knows that all his hopes and dreams begin and end there. A girl who can show me what laughter means, and we'll fill in the missing colors in each other's paint by number dreams. And then we'll put our dark glasses on and we'll make love until our strength is gone. And when the morning light comes streaming in, we'll get up and do it again. Get it up again. I'm gonna be a happy idiot and struggle for the legal tender. Thank you. The pretender who started out so young and strong, only to surrender.
Disagreements had begun, and in a while it just fell apart. It wasn't hard to do. Everybody loves the sound of a train in the distance. Everybody thinks it's true. Everybody loves the sound of a train in the distance. Everybody thinks it's true. Two disappointed believers, two people playing the game. Negotiations and love songs are often mistaken for one and the same. And now the man and the woman, they remain in contact. Let us say it's for the child. Disagreements about the meaning of a marriage contract, conversations hard and wild. But from time to time, he just makes her laugh. She cooks a meal or two. Everybody loves the sound of a train in the distance. Everybody thinks it's true. Everybody loves the sound of a train in the distance. Everybody thinks it's true. What is the point of this story? What information pertains? The thought that life could be better is woven indelibly into our hearts and our brains. Thank you.
From 1983, that was Paul Simon with Train in the Distance. Danny?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to sing you a song about our maligned little brother, the Paul Simon album, Hearts and Bones.
I really do like that record.
I think Hearts and Bones may well be the single most underrated album of all time.
Wow.
Paul Simon watchers, like the Paul Simon crowd. I'm a huge Paul Simon fan, but I don't think I would put myself into like the Paul Simon crowd, right? Okay. Like they all think that the Hearts and Bones is this like terrible album because it was the first Paul Simon album that didn't sell very well. Mm-hmm. It was the very first one after like, you know, a run of at least 10 years.
Well, yeah, I mean, the album before this was One Trick Pony, I think.
The album before this was really Concert in Central Park. I mean,
oh, that's right.
They were just coming off of the reunion with Simon and Garfunkel, and like we were just talking about off air, this was supposed to be a Simon and Garfunkel album, and they had a falling out, and Paul Simon went into the studio and just erased Artie off of everything that was happening.
But there's so many good songs. The late great Johnny Ace, Renee and Georgette Magritte with their Dog After the War.
The title track, Hearts and Bones.
Yeah.
And this one, Train in the Distance. This song, I love this song.
This is your pick, for
and
sure.
Yeah, I totally might. But it's this song about how everybody needs to have something to look forward to. And if that something to look forward to happens to be something that might affect the rest of your life in a positive way, I mean it's set against a divorce, right?
Yeah.
But like at the end, it's hopeful.
It's a look towards the future.
Yeah. And you know, and everyone loves the sound of a train in the distance.
Yeah.
Right. Everyone likes to have something to look forward to.
Yeah.
And it's, anyway, now the other thing I want to say about this song, I said in the intro that eventually everything that Jeff Porcaro plays on eventually will start to swing.
Yeah.
Right. And for about 8 seconds at the very end of that song, Porcaro kicks in with a kit, man, and that song is swinging.
This guy is so deep in the pocket, and the thing is you knew that he held that groove back, and he let it tightly spring out throughout the point of the entire song, and then he just unleashes it in the last few bars of the song.
Yeah,
I mean, the cat was that deep in the pocket. So
don't ever give up hope, folks. There's always something to look forward to.
Yeah, there always is.
Next song is yours.
Yeah, okay. This song is from the 1988 album, Toto's The Seventh One. The name of the song is called Stop Loving You. This, by far and away, this is probably one of my all-time favorite Toto songs, bar none, for a number of reasons. The band is totally on fire. And listening to it, you're going to hear background vocals by John Anderson from Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's there. This has got my favorite lead singer in Toto's history. It's a guy by the name of Joseph Williams. Now,
who is back with Steve Lukather?
He's been back for a very long time.
The two of them are touring as Toto right now.
Yeah, and they have been for a while. He came back on the Falling in Between album and did some stuff with them. And he was on 14 and a number of records. Anyhow, Joseph Williams, because everybody is so incestuous in this, you got Marty Paich's kid, David. You've got Joe Porcaro's son, Jeff. And here, you've got composer John Williams, Star Wars, Jaws, and all that kind of stuff. His kid, Joseph Williams.
Interesting.
Hanging out. And they all meet the same way. They're coming from the same background. This guy could literally sing the phone book, and I would instantly buy it. I love this guy's voice. I absolutely adore it. The performance on here, the drum track, is astonishing. The guitar parts. It gets into the last about minute and a half, and Joseph Williams' voice just builds at one point, and then it goes into this great drum break from Jeff Beccaro, and the song just explodes into a bazillion beats. And this for me, this is the height of Toto as an ensemble, just really clicking and blowing themselves to bits in this. And I love this song.
The very passionate Dan Moyer.
I get kind of worked up a little bit. And, you know, I didn't even talk about the Symes signature on this one.
No, we did. So from the album called The Seventh One, 1988. This is Stop Loving You on 95.1 KYMN The One.
Sweet. got to keep her sweet. And he keep her just right, keeps her on the street.
Kind of wished that I could be a DJ in the on an FM station in the 1970s, because then I could be like, that was Buzz Skaggs. Buzz, yeah, from his Middleman album. That was JoJo.
Yeah, and that wow, man, you're Mr. Historian. You know, that time has since passed. We had Nirvana and everything.
I wish to. I lived through the 70s, but I was I was under 10. I wish, really wish, I could have been an adult in the 70s. I would have had so much fun.
You know, that song's fun, and I guess that I hear the signature piece of that rhythm guitar. That's Ray Parker Jr.
Yep.
On guitar, and of course he was with Radio and Ghostbusters and all that stuff. And that's Steve Lukather, yep, on lead guitar there.
Yep.
And man, by that point, Buzz Skaggs was pretty secure in his career.
Yeah. He was selling out shows and, mm-hmm, and making money.
And it's got that Picaro groove going in the back.
No
there,
question about so. That. Folks, that's going to just about do it for this edition of the Weekly List. If you like the show, you can go find us on our... Well, first of all, you can podcast us by looking for the KYMN Radio Podcast on all of the podcast platforms, including, Danny?
Stitcher.
Right. Or you can go find us on our program page on the KYMN website, kymnradio.net. Look under the Weekly List. You will find all the past shows that are archived.
And we're right where we belong, right at the very bottom of that page. Hey, man.
We're no National Security Weekly or National Security This Week, that's
no,
for sure. But and you can find us on Facebook, where I post every new show. Theoretically, I post every new show On Friday, the last 2 weeks, I've missed Friday, and it's shown up on Saturday, but whatever. I promise to do better. Look for us under the weekly list, and also go like the KYMN Facebook page and go like the Imminent Brewing Facebook page, because we love our patron and we love our sponsors.
Yes.
Okay. There was one more song that Danny and I agreed that had to be on this.
I
think anyone who knows anything about Toto they know that this is going to be Africa.
Yes.
From Toto 4.
You know, right? The number one big hit, Africa. It's their biggest hit of their entire career.
Yeah, well, I think it might be their best song. I love this song. You don't agree with me, fine. I don't care.
That's fine.
Because you listen to all the other Toto albums three other people have heard Hydra, and you're one of them.
And Hydra is a pop album because I've got the Dune soundtrack too, man. So anyhow,
you're the only. Not even Steve Lukather has heard the Dune soundtrack.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
This song was written by David Paich and Jeff Porcaro.
Yes.
Now the thing that was interesting about this is, and I'm going to get my last music nerd stuff in. Now the basic drum part was recorded by Jeff Porcaro and Lenny Castro. He's a percussionist, and they sat in the studio and they faced each other. The backbeat's on the three, so it has a halftime feel, and the 16th notes are on the hi-hat. That's what gives it that sound. There was no click track. Now, that's the important thing. There's click.
Like my, no, there are people's eyes just
right,
glazing
okay,
over
a
right
A click
now.
Track is just a sound of deet, deet, yeah, yeah. deet, and it's used to keep time.
It's to keep the
beat, that you wouldn't lose it.
With the tempo, that's the word I'm looking
for. Porcaro had such natural feel for time, he never needed a click track.
Yeah.
And there's no click track
on
this.
He was a human metronome.
He was a human metronome. I think it's funny because we've played this song before, and I was giving the song grief about, you know, this. What was it? Kilimanjaro raises like Olympus over the Serengeti.
See, again...
is that you're comparing a mountain to a mountain. Just a couple years ago, Steve Lukather and Steve Porcaro later described the song Africa as dumb, and that some of the lyrics were just placeholder lines, particularly the one that references Serengeti. Jeff actually thought about saving the song for a solo album because he didn't think it represented Toto.
Which brings me back to my point.
Go ahead.
Right, which is the way I originally heard those lyrics, right? Sure as Kilimanjaro rises like a leprous above the Serengeti.
But it's Olympus.
Right, but my point is the way I heard it makes better sense and is a better line.
Okay, well...
And therefore, I am choosing to keep that
to
in my heart.
Fake. Well, anyhow, this was...
Sure
the thing
as
that...
Kilimanjaro rises like a leprous above the Serengeti. I think that works much better.
Well, his brother and Lukather said the song was dumb, but...
Okay, because of that line, and I'm changing it.
Well, they actually used to give Jeff some grief about it. They thought it was stupid.
Again, I'm changing the line.
The thing that's fun about this is just off the side, we've played this before, but January 2019, there was a sound installation that was set up in an undisclosed location in the Namib Desert that plays this song in a constant loop. And it was powered by solar batteries, allowing the song to be played indefinitely. So right out there, right now, somewhere in the middle of an African desert, the song Africa is playing. And as soon as it's done, it will play again and play again.
I think that's beautiful.
Isn't that kind of a cool idea?
And that's the best way to end this show this week.
Anyhow, Jeff, man.
Jeff Porcaro, man.
Thanks
you.
For everything. And as it's written on your tombstone, our love doesn't end here. It lives forever on the wings of time. Amen. God bless you, Jeffrey Thomas Porcaro.
Thank you, sir. And thanks to all of you for listening. We do love you. We appreciate you. And we'll talk to you guys again next week.
All right.
Peace.
She's coming in 12:30 flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation.
stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melodies. He turned to me as if to say, "Hurry, boy, it's waiting there for you. Longing for some solitary company. I know that I must do what's right, sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. I seek to cure what's deep inside, frightened of this thing that I've become.